Some grow nuts, some grow leaves. Either way you look at it, we're talking trees with John Eisenhower on Rosie on the House.
We are talking trees, and we're going to get to our tree trimming, our tree to-dos. Real quick, though, we've got a little lanyard, little something extra. It's generally, we have one set of tickets to give away and we do that at 9:20. We actually end up with two sets of tickets. So if you are an ASU basketball fan.
I am.
You are?
Yes.
Okay.
In the top 20 now.
And you can't compete because I know for a fact you haven't won one of our tickets in the last 12 months. So here's what you do. We got to make you earn it just a little bit. What was Arizona's first capital? And this was before we were a state, so it was a territorial capital. Fort what? Not Fort McDowell. Not Fort Henry. What fort? If you have our home maintenance calendar, it's our Arizona trivia question, so you can get quick reference by looking in your December's home maintenance calendar, or give you a second to search that online. Text the answer to 411-923, and all right answers between now and the end of this programming segment, up to 9-8-27-50, will just be pulled at random. And you'll be going to ASU versus Princeton on December 29th. It doesn't have a time on it. I don't know. Do they play nights or days in college basketball?
Usually nights.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Game 7.
Thursdays and Saturdays.
To our talking trees. What are we doing this month with our trees?
Well, a couple of monthly tree tips. Start backing off on your pruning dosage on all of your evergreen trees, your frost-sensitive ones, especially your citrus and other flowering trees. Kind of back off on the amount of foliage you're taking off if you're doing any trimming at all. Your deciduous trees, on the other hand, can be pruned this time of year. So your mulberries, your pecans, your other trees and shrubs that lose their leaves this time of year, winter is a great time. December, January is perfect timing to be trimming those back. And you want to be careful, too, when you're installing your holiday lights in any of your trees. We do a lot of that all over town. And it's kind of cool because trees are the natural scaffold that hold up those lights in your yard. Just kind of be careful the way you attach them to the branches. If you're going to wrap them around the branches, be careful because those branches get larger in diameter. And if you leave them on too long, they can girdle those branches and do some damage to the trees. If you leave them on too long, a year or so, sometimes the tree can swallow up those grow right over those wires. So we recommend if you're wrapping the branches to just take them off each year and put them back up in the following year. Or you can attach them, of course, with some landscape tape or some other method so that you're not actually wrapping around the branches themselves but stringing along them.
Now, I have seen trees grow over barbed wire fences out in the desert over a year. So unless you were just designating this as your designated Christmas tree, like every 10 years you could wrap a new string of lights, and as the tree grew and the lights would just become part of it and you'd never have to take them on or off, that would be your sacrificial landscape Christmas tree.
Yeah, unless, of course, those wires girdled the branch and killed the branch, which is the risk that you take by doing that. So, yeah, be sure you take those lights down every year is probably the best policy. And it makes it a lot easier to trim the trees, too. We always tell people, please have the trees trimmed before you put your lights in, because then we come up, come to do our regular maintenance work and the tree's all strung with lights and it's pretty hard to trim around all those lights. Olive tree spraying this is your time of year to be getting on the calendar. If you plan to spray your olives to reduce the olive drop every year, the spray cycle starts in January, goes all the way through about April. But you need to get on the calendar soon. So if you need to contact your local arborist, now is your time to get on their calendar because it starts to fill up pretty quick starting after the 1st of January. Also, if you plan to do some spraying of your fruit-bearing olives, it's nice to do some trimming ahead of time. So you might want to be thinking about scheduling that work also just prior to your spray schedule. That way it gives better spray coverage when there's less foliage to cover. Of course, as all olive owners know, the olives can be very dense and the very small branches, and they can be very tightly clustered. So if you can do a little bit of thinning in those heavier clusters of branches, you'll get better spray coverage, and of course that means less fruit dropping as it matures later in the year. Speaking of olive trees, there was some discussion about whether olives are legal in Arizona, fruit-bearing olives. And it's yes and no, because the Pima County in southern Arizona actually outlawed mulberry trees, olive trees, and Bermuda grass back in 1984. They determined that because of the high pollen output that they were aggravating people's allergies. So they basically disallowed those two trees, mulberries and olives, and then Bermuda grass from being planted at all within the boundaries of the county. Outside of Pima County, though, fruit-bearing olives are perfectly legal to plant. But just like with your Aleppo pine, sometimes they're hard to find. Unless you specify to the nurseries that you want a fruit-bearing olive, most of the time you're going to find a fruitless olive because most people don't want the olives dropping. But if you want to process olives and you enjoy that possibility of having a fruiting olive, just put in a request to your local nursery and they can order it up.
If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348.